Good, Mike? All right. Listen, this morning I just want to take the opportunity, if you don't mind. I want to talk to the dads. I want to talk to the fathers. I want to speak on behalf of the dads and the fathers today. I want to say some things this morning that perhaps they won't say. It's important that we recognize dads. Are we in agreement with that? We recognize a whole lot of things in this world. We give a lot of credit. But seldom do we get to the place of appreciation when it comes to dads. Because there's a difference between recognizing and appreciating. You see, because recognizing just acknowledges the fact that he's made some sacrifices for you. It's acknowledging the fact that he supported you. It's acknowledging the fact that he was there for you, that he provided for you, that he protected you. And that's good. But when we move over to appreciation, appreciation says that I value you. It's a deeper level than just recognizing. You see, because recognition costs you some words, but appreciation will cost you something that is of value. And far too often, and Dad, you back me up on this, we get the t-shirts, the ties, and the socks. And there's nothing wrong with you appreciating fathers. Let me destroy this frame of thought, is that dads don't love like mothers. Because we do. We just love in a different type of way. Our love, a lot of times, is like playing in golf, playing the long game. You may not see the dividends of it right now, but down the road, you'll see how valuable Dad really was in your life. Amen, amen, amen. See, whereas moms think we're being too hard, we realize that the world is much harder than we could ever be on them. And so therefore, what we're doing is we're trying to prepare them for a life outside of the nest. Because the reality of it is, if the dad is doing it right, they'll leave the nest and begin to develop their own nest, that they might be able to teach their children the same things that we've been teaching them. This is part of what's missing in the black community. Fathers that are invested in their children. Fathers that love their children. The reality of it is, there are more single parent households in our community than in just about any other one. But men, we need to stop that trend. It's up to us. I told you earlier, God has built us uniquely. Women were built to birth children. But men, we were built to endure. We're built to fix things, because that's what we want to do. That's what we find great joy in, is fixing things, helping our children along the way. Protecting our children. And here's one of the most difficult things that I've had to do as a father, is protecting my children against themselves. It's difficult. Because you have that love for them. And you don't want to say no. But there are times that we must, as fathers, we must stand and say no. I know that this may feel like it's the right thing to do right now. But down the line, there's going to be some problems. This morning, I want to talk about fathers of integrity. That's what I want to talk about. Because if we're going to do this father, dad thing correctly, we must have integrity. What is integrity? Integrity is being a man of your word, number one. Doing what you said that you would do. And understand that none of our children asked to be here. That was a deal that you made with their mama. But now they are here. And men, we have an awesome responsibility to shape their lives. Here's what the scripture says. It said, blessed is the man who has his quiver full with children. Here's the B portion of it. He said, they're like an arrow in the hand of a mighty man. What does that say? That says, men, you have the opportunity to point them in the right direction. Before you release that arrow, you can put them in the right direction. We have that responsibility. Let's take a look at the man of integrity. A scripture text will come from the book of Job. Book of Job, first chapter. We're going to read the first five verses. Let me read this in your hearing. Job chapter 1, verse 1. There once was a man named Job who lived in the land of Uz. And he was blameless, a man of complete integrity. He feared God and stayed away from evil. He had seven sons and three daughters. He owned 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, a team of 500 oxen, 500 female donkeys. And he also had many servants. He was, in fact, the richest person in that entire area. Job's son would take turns preparing feasts in their homes. And they would also invite their three sisters to celebrate with them. And when these celebrations ended, sometime after several days, Job would purify his children. And he would get up early in the morning and offer a burnt offering for each of them. But Job said to himself, perhaps my children have sinned and have cursed God in their hearts. This was Job's regular practice. Job finds himself in the middle of a challenge between God and Satan. If you go on, this is the introduction of what Job was really about. Because the Bible says that when the sons of men came before God, that Satan came along with them. And God offers a challenge to Satan. After Satan said he's going to and fro, God said, have you tried my servant, Job? This is a test of Job's faith. The reality of this book in the Bible is that it is a test of our faith. What it shows us and what it teaches us is how to suffer in a way that pleases God. There is a way of suffering. You do know that, right? And understand that Job is suffering because of this challenge that God made with Satan. Here's where we mess up a lot of times. And you'll find out if you read this entire book, you'll find out later when his friends came, is that they begin to think that Job had done something wrong, that this suffering comes upon him. They thought that maybe Job had sinned in some kind of way, that this suffering had come upon him. No, that wasn't the case. It's not the case here. Just because folks suffering don't always mean that because they had sinned some kind of way. As a matter of fact, in the Gospel of John, the 9th chapter, you remember the blind man? The disciples asked Jesus, who sinned, him or his mother, that this blindness is upon him? And Jesus said, neither him nor his parents see it. He said that the glory of God might be revealed. And there are times, brothers and sisters, that we're going to suffer just for the sake of suffering. It is a test of our faith. And so here Job is, a man of integrity. That's what the text says. As a matter of fact, look here, in the King James Version, it said that he was a perfect man. Now you look at the Hebrew text, the Hebrew language, it does not mean perfect and sinless. Job was not a sinless man, but he was an upright man. In other words, that he lived a life that was pleasing in God's sight. There was nothing that anybody in the land could lay hold on Job. Why? Because he was an upright man. He was a man of integrity. And understand that before you can be a father of integrity, you got to first be a man of integrity. We got to be men of our word. If we say that we're going to do something, hell and high water may come, but you must do what you said you're going to do. And if you cannot, you need to make it right. Because that's what having integrity means. Here's another thing. Integrity is doing the right thing just because it is the right thing. It's not doing the right thing that you might be get pat on the back for. Because that's not how integrity works. As a matter of fact, if you're a man of integrity, you're going to always be swimming against the current. Because we live in a world where integrity is low on the totem pole. Nobody wants to do what's right. Because it's hard sometimes. It's difficult to do the right thing. You see, because when you do the right thing, sometimes you lose some stuff. When you're walking in integrity, you don't always get to be first in line. As a matter of fact, if you're walking in integrity, sometimes you're going to be at the back of the line. Sometimes you'll be picking up the scraps. But understand that God is in the scraps as well. As a matter of fact, maybe you get a chance to appreciate God a little bit more when you ain't got nothing but scraps. You see, because God can take just a little bit. God can take just a smidgen and make something that will feed 5,000. But it's your integrity. It's us standing up in this upside down world and declaring the unadulterated gospel of Jesus Christ. It's us not being ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what integrity is. And I heard just recently, the father said that the only thing I want out of this life is that my kids live a better life than me. And that's good. That's admirable. But what I want out of this life is that my children know Jesus for themselves. That is not a sense of them, you know, coming and being a part of the church because I'm their dad and because I required it for so long. I love it when they just come because this is what God is moving upon their hearts to do. don't know, ever have to force my children to come to church. And I'm not one that's going to beat them over the head. But I'll let them know and declare what the word of God has to say. That this is the place that we ought to come. This is where we come to corporately worship God together with other believers. Because a lot of times, this is where you'll hear the word of God. This way, if you're preaching right, they'll hear some instruction that they might need. So here we look, we take a look at this text. And off the rip, it tells us that Job was a man of integrity. But it also tells us that Job feared God. Now understand that this is not a fear of terror. This is a fear of awe and respect for God. Job realized that God was much bigger than he was. That was God the one that was sustaining him and was blessing him. The text tells us that. There was nobody that had the wealth of Job. How did he get it? You want money? You want big bank? Job shows us how to do it. To be a man of integrity. To be a man that fears God, that reverences God, that listens to God, that obeys God. The problem is that we hear God, but we don't want to obey God. We need to obey what God has said. And let's bring it back home. Because God is our heavenly Father. And I remember often, and I'll say it again. You guys have heard it before, but I'll say it again because somebody needs to hear it. That when my kids were younger, they said, "Dad, what do you want for Father's Day?" And I tell them obedience. That's what I want. You ain't got to buy me nothing. I want your obedience. And God expects the same thing. He expects our obedience. Just for the simple fact that he is God, that he is sovereign in who he is, and that we bring our obedience to him as a sacrifice. Because that's what it is. So he says that he was obedient. He feared God, and he eschewed, or he ran away from, evil. The problem nowadays is that we hang around too long around evil. The longer you hang around evil, the more it's susceptible to take you over, overtake you. So, man, we need to be men of wisdom. We need to be able to see those areas, those things that we know are not good for us or not good for our families. You see, because here's the key, man, because when Satan hits you, he hits your family as well. But when you allow him to cause you to fall and cause you to stumble, the whole family stumbles. The whole family will fall. The whole family will feel the effects of it. So be encouraged. This is the best place for you, we as men, to be in. Is living a life of integrity, living a life in awe of who God is, of his majesty, and to stay away from sinful practices. But not only was Job a man of integrity, but Job was a man of great wealth. Look at the text. This is interesting because the text starts off. It starts off talking about Job has 7 sons and 3 daughters. That's the beginning of his wealth right there. As a matter of fact, that's where it stops at. A lot of people like to skip verse number 2 and go verse number 3 and talk about what Job possessed. But understand, under the culture in which they lived, a man was measured by the children that he had, whether or not he was wealthy or not. As a matter of fact, if you had just one son, you was considered blessed. But here we see that God has a multiplicity of blessings for Job. He has 7 sons. Well, there's some that didn't even have one. If you don't believe me, look at Abraham. Abraham didn't have not one son. His wife Sarah was barren. But here it is, Job has seven sons. That's seven sons that can be out in the vineyards working, plowing, and helping. That's why they were valuable. They were valuable because they could pass on the name of Job. But not only did he have seven sons, he had three daughters to boot. That's wealth in that day. And on top of that, God gave him an abundance of wealth. 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 teams of oxen. That's 1,000. 500 female donkeys. And it says that he was the richest man of his time. Well, nobody richer than Job. Job had big bank. Job would probably could be a banker in his day. It was undeniable that God had blessed Job. But even with saying that, Job was not caught up into his finances or his wealth. Because here we see not only was Job a man of integrity, not only was Job rich, but Job was a provider for his children as well. Because every year on their birthdays, they threw a big party. There wasn't no little party. Seven times a year, they would get together and throw a big party that lasts days. And guess who paid for it? Your brother Job. Amen. Yes, sir. Job had it like that. And understand, listen, look here. Nowhere in there do you see that Job interfered into the affairs of his children. Why? Because he had taught them. So fathers, we also have a responsibility to teach our children. Ain't nothing wrong with celebrating. You just need to do it in the right manner. As a matter of fact, that's the problem now. We don't celebrate our youth enough. We need to spend more time celebrating them. You see, because if we won't celebrate them, Satan got something for them outside of here. But there's a way of doing it. But here Job realized that even though I taught them well, hello somebody, don't mean they gonna always do well. Even though I raised them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, they still gonna do some stuff that perhaps might not be right. Job understands this. And they look at him, so Job is a provider, he's a protector, but he's also one who sacrifices for his children. Because in these parties or these celebrations, he said that perhaps one of my kids did something that they ain't got no business doing. Anybody been there before? Don't you ever say what your children won't do. I've made that mistake. Saying what about your, oh no, they would never do that. Well, Father, we got them on camera. You can't deny it. Don't ever say what they won't do. The reason why is because they're human just like you are. They're still prone to make mistakes just like you and I are. Don't you ever think you got so far along to where you don't make no mistakes. Don't ever get to a place where you think you're above reproach. Because I'm still living on the mercy of God. There would be no need for God to say that you have new mercy every morning if we didn't make any mistakes. If we did not sin. And every morning I wake up, there's new mercy sitting there waiting on me. He's sitting right there on the side of the bed, right there waiting on me to wake up. I got new mercy every morning. And we all need mercy. But here we see Job is a praying father. He knows how to go to God on behalf of his children. He knows how to bend down, get down on bending knees and say, Father God, you are my father. And God, you understand what I'm going through because you got to deal with me. And that teaches me how to deal with my children. I know, God, I mess up every day. There's a wrong thought. There's a wrong motive, a wrong intention. Something I did wrong today, God. But I thank God for his mercy. So when my kids mess up, I can look to God and say, wait a minute, I made that mistake. They made this mistake, but there's still mercy there. And Father, we got to start understanding that. We got to start extending some mercy to our children. It's all right to teach them. We need to teach them. We need to train them up. We also need to realize that they're still sinners saved by the grace of God, just like we are. And if it had not been for Jesus, hello, somebody. If it had not been for the Lord, where would I be? What would I be? What would my life be like? Because I know that I was a wretch that was undone. I know that my heart was desperately wicked. I didn't even know. I couldn't tell you. No, I would never do that. And I ain't never said that. Because I don't know. I'm still in this flesh. And prior to Christ Jesus, that's all I knew was the flesh. But oh, thank God for Jesus. Thank God for him coming in and giving me the Holy Ghost. I have the Holy Spirit living inside of me. And he empowers me to be able to live the life that he's called me to live. You can say what you want. But he's given me that ability to be able to live. Am I perfect? Absolutely not. Am I sinless? Absolutely not. But I am forgiven. And I know how to confess my sin. I know how to go to God. When I'm messed up, when I'm jacked up, when I've done things and said things I ain't got no business saying, I know how to go to God and say, God, forgive me. Lord, cleanse me. Make me whole again. You see, because I don't feel right when I got sin in my life. There's a brokenness that's in me that needs to be fixed by Almighty God. Too many times I've tried to fix circumstances, fix situations, and God has shown me, ain't no way you can fix this. You made the mess, but you can't clean it up. You need the power of the Holy Ghost to get this right. That's what you need. You need the power of the Holy Ghost to correct some of this stuff. As a matter of fact, you can't even touch it until I touch them. This is the life of fathers. We must be moved. We must be filled with the Holy Ghost. Because it takes the Holy Ghost for us to be able to view our children in that light. To love our children. To help our children along the way. To tell them what's right. And then to stand upon it. But understand this, that it's all done in love. That's what it really boils down to, is that how are we loving them? How are we trying to rear them and to raise them apart from our love for them? I don't know how to do nothing but love them. From the day that they were born, the moment I set eyes on them. And I realized that this is a part of me. You see, when you come from a situation where you didn't have a dad that did that, coming from a situation that a dad didn't really care nothing about you. When you walked in this and you realized the void that was in your life, and there's absolutely no way you want your children to feel the same way you felt. And God can take that bad situation and work it out for the good. Because that's what he does. He takes difficult situations and he works them out for the good. And so as a father, I purpose in my heart that I wouldn't do that. That I would stand with my children. That I would make sure that I affirm them and let them know that they have value. That's a part of our job. Let them know that they mean more than that job that you used to go to where you couldn't make any of their functions. If you still got children in school, take off the job. Go to some of those school programs. Because understand this, that God will let you make up any money you think you lost. It's about the babies. It's about the children. And fathers, we have a very big part to play in it. Stop leaving everything up to mama. We have a huge portion to play in this. It's us that have the arrow. We're the ones that point them in the right direction. It's us. Here Job is praying for his children. He's praying for them. He realized that they're human. So not only does he pray for them, but here he said that he makes a sacrifice for them. In other words, this cost Job something. And Job does not mind paying the price. Much in the same way our Heavenly Father, I'm going somewhere, Deke. Much the same way our Heavenly Father seen us in some of our celebrations. He's seen the sin that we had. Not only is he praying for us, but he makes it a sacrifice for us. Over 2,000 years ago, yes, he did. He's seen our condition. He's seen our sinfulness. And yet he still loved us enough to make a sacrifice for us. He sent Jesus Christ down through 42 generations. Yes, he did. He sent him down with the purpose of living and showing us a life to live. But his real purpose was when he went to Calvary. Somebody say Calvary today. He went to Calvary to die for our sins. He went to Calvary to take our place. That's the sacrifice he made for us. He did for us what we could not do for ourselves. He gave the best, the only sacrifice that was sufficient. And that was in Jesus Christ. Jesus hung upon that cross. He suffered, bled, and died on that cross. He died upon the cross. They took him down, put him in a borrowed man's tomb. But the record declared that early on the third day, he rose with all power of heaven and earth in his hand. That's the sacrifice that he's made for us. This is what fathers do. We sacrifice, and just like he sacrificed for us, what is the sacrifice you will make? You caught up in a challenge. What's the sacrifice you'll make as a man? Not only did Jesus sacrifice, he went away to prepare a place for us. Yes, he did. That's what he said. He said that if he go away and prepare a place for us, he'll come and receive us unto himself, that where he is, we shall be also. Jesus Christ right now is making intercession for us. He's still yet praying for us, Deke. Still yet praying for us. He's going to come back again. Hallelujah. And receive us unto himself. Glory to God. Receive us unto himself, and we'll forever be with the Lord. Let the church say amen. Amen. And amen, man. Please stand to your feet. The door to the church is open. Glory to his name. He's worthy to be praised. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Glory to your name, oh God. Is there one that will come? This is your opportunity Jesus desires to do something for you that you cannot do for yourself. If you're here and you don't know Christ, if you don't know him in the free pardon of your sin, this is your opportunity to receive Christ. He's done it all. If you would just come. Come on now. Yes, Lord. How many are willing to give themselves away? Amen, amen, amen. If you're looking for a church home, we recommend this one. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Amen. We thank and praise God for his word. Amen, amen, amen. I don't know if you know it or not, but I really don't like preaching theme messages. But this is one that resonated in my heart, you know, as I began to look at the Bible and the word of God. And God gave me this message. We need to be men of integrity. For the children and for the spouses. If you have a husband that is operating in integrity, that is loving you and sacrificing for you, then you need to make a best effort to appreciate him. Listen. Let me tell you something. Just a little appreciation will go a long way. You see, because when you begin to appreciate him, he'll go further. A little appreciation will cause him to run through a brick wall for you. When he realizes that you value what he does. Listen, I'm trying to help you as well. We need to start understanding that we're worth more than just recognition. But we need to know that what we're doing for you is valued. And I know men, you don't want to say that because you're men. Men just do what we do. We don't worry about that stuff. But it needs to be said. Start appreciating. That's right. Get him that favorite gadget he wants. Tool he wants. Take him out to dinner. And let him leave his wallet at home. Say amen, somebody. Amen. If all hearts are satisfied, I'm done. If all hearts are satisfied, please stand to your feet. Those who desire prayer, come down to the throne of grace. Amen. As we offer prayer, again, don't forget to pray for our sick. I've been told by several of the people that I've spoken with that are on the sick list that you guys have been a tremendous blessing to them. You have encouraged their hearts. Some of you have called, you've sent cards. Some have even stopped by to visit. Keep doing what you're doing. Because it is blessing. Blessing. Let the church let's look towards heaven. Dear eternal God, our Father, we come to you this afternoon, God. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this worship experience, God. God, we're praying that this word will not fall on deaf ears, but that, God, we might take it, Father, that we might plant it in our hearts, God. And that, Lord, we will leave out of here with a word on our lips, testimony down inside of us, that we're going to share once we leave here, God. God, I pray that, though, you'll bless us today. This which has been labeled Father's Day. Father, first of all, we say happy Father's Day to you, God. You are the greatest example of a father that we have. And so, God, I'm praying right now, Heavenly Father, Lord, that we as father, earthly fathers, that, Lord, we will mimic what you have done, Father. We will mimic the integrity that you have, God. That we'll bask in what you've blessed us with, God. That, Lord, we might be a blessing to someone else, God. And just like Job, we realize that the blessing is not just for us, God. But we are to share it. We are to be a blessing to others, God. That they might see your glory, God. That they might glorify you, God. But Jesus, you said that we are to let our light so shine that men might see our good works and glorify you in heaven. So God, help us, God, to be obedient to your word, Father. God, continue to increase our faith in you and our trust in you, God. You've shown yourself faithful, God. And Lord, we thank you, God. Lord, teach us how to deal with our children, God. Help us to build stronger relationships. Help us how to mend some broken fences, God. Lord, help us to tear down some walls of partition, God. Help us how to show love to our children. And God, show the children how to honor and to appreciate their fathers. Because God, we realize that we're not going to always be here, Father. And so while they yet have us, I pray, God, that they'll glean from us, that they'll receive the words that we have as instructions, God. Bless us that we might be a blessing, God. Let us teach our children how to be a blessing, how to step out on faith, God. We honor you today. We praise your name today. Now, Father, continue to look upon our sick list. Lord, touch each and every one that's on there, the names. And yes, Lord, even the ones that are not on there, God, those that are sick in their bodies right now, God, I'm praying right now that you'll touch them. God, we thank you for Deacon Ross, Heavenly Father, Lord, who is here with us today. We praise your name, God. Thank you that he's here. Thank you for his life, God. We ask that you continue to heal him, that you continue to bless him, God, along with everybody else that's on this list, God. We honor you today. Now bless us as we depart from this place. Go to our various destinations, God. Bless our going in and our coming out. We thank you, we praise you, we honor you today. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. In Jesus' name. Now may the grace of God, the love of Jesus, and the sweet communion of his Holy Spirit, may it rest, rule, and abide with us now, hence, and forevermore. Let every heart sing. Hey, God bless you.